There's a member of my family, a certain female, who I will not give their name, who is in that generation. And if you see her today, she is a church-going, Bible-reading, senior citizen saint. I mean, she is the holiest. You would think, oh, man, she's been this way her whole life. Not so, evidently. Evidently, Elvis had the power to make women lose their minds. I haven't been to the Elvis concert, but I've seen the video. I'm sure you have too. And this person in my family did what so many teenage girls did at those concerts. You know what I'm talking about? Removed their bra and threw it on stage. What drives women to do that? They're nuts. They're perfectly rational people, but the concert and the artist and the music drives people nuts. Just, I didn't say Georgia did. If she did, she didn't tell you about it. Music drives people crazy and makes them do things you wouldn't think normally they would do, and so do sports. I mean, I'm talking about some other people in my family right now. What rational people would walk around with a big hunk of cheese on their head? That's what I'm talking about. See, there's an example right there. Here's some other crazy things that sports teams and sports fans do. The Portland Timbers, every time they score a goal, the soccer team scores a goal, they celebrate by cutting a big log in half with a chainsaw. And they just keep doing that, right? And then after the game is over, they take these big logs and they just run around with them. Nuts. Could get Ethan and Corbin and James and Josh and David and any other rugby players I missed to get up here. And probably they might not be able to do the whole thing, but the New Zealand rugby team, the All Blacks, have this ritual, right? And all their fans know it. It's the haka dance. And they go, whoa, whoa, I can't do it. But it's just whole thing of, oh, no, 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 ha, hoo, ho, ho, ho. I don't know how they do it. But don't videotape that. Again, rational people do weird things when it comes to sports. How about the Detroit Wings hockey team? For years, and it started around 1952, I think, they celebrated each win in the 1952 playoffs by throwing an octopus on the ice. Isn't that weird? And the tradition stuck. You can, since then, there have been... Yeah. There have been 50 octopi chucked onto the ice. And there's even a fish market in town that publishes a pamphlet for the best practices in octopus tossing. Tips to avoid the octopus from sticking to the ice. And permissible times for launching the octopus without getting fined. It's crazy. University of Pennsylvania, after the third quarter, they all throw toast on the field. Here's a toast to Old Penn, is the phrase. Some crazy, crazy stuff that we do, that we see people do. Why? Why do we do all of that? Why do people go crazy like that for concerts and music and other things? They are doing something that is actually normal. They are praising. They are. Nothing wrong with it. To lift up something that's really good, something you really enjoy. In fact, we use that word. When someone says, you know what, Hillary's really been singing your praises. We say that all the time, right? When someone's been bragging on you, they say, someone's been singing your praises. So it's a normal thing. There's another word we use a lot outside of church as well as in church, and that's hallelujah. Right? We say that phrase when the computer starts working and the projector comes on. We say hallelujah, right? We say that word all the time outside of church even, and they mean the same thing actually. Praise and hallelujah, it means the exact same thing. So we're going to look at Psalm 150, and it is the hallelujah psalm. That word hallelujah appears several times in this psalm, Psalm 150. Before we get into it, let me just tell you about the place of Psalm 150. You know, like I said, we have been doing the psalms all summer long. This is the last Sunday of the psalm series, and Psalm 150 is the last one in the book. It is the bookend to 149 psalms. It's there on purpose. It's there to summarize in some ways everything that has gone on from Psalm 1 all the way through 149. It's an important book, and this is an important psalm to end with. So in this psalm, we are encouraged to praise God 13 times. In 6 verses, 13 times we're encouraged to praise God. And every time you see that word praise, it's related to the word hallelujah. Here it is. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings of pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That phrase, praise the Lord, is in Hebrew the word hallelujah. That's where we get the word from, is the Hebrew behind this. And in this psalm, that phrase, that exact phrase, praise the Lord, and by the way, that should be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's what it should be. Here's why. When you read your Bible and you see the word Lord with all capital letters, that's referring to this Hebrew word for God. We're not sure how to pronounce it, actually. At one point, we thought the English pronunciation would be Jehovah. So you've heard that name. That's this name for God. And lately, they're thinking, no, that's not how you pronounce it. It's Yahweh, maybe. Yahweh. Jehovah and Yahweh, it's the same name, okay? And it is the personal, distinct name that God has given Himself and revealed Himself to us. So praise is the Hale part, and the Yah is the Lord. Yah is the Yahweh. Praise Yahweh is what we're saying. Every time you say hallelujah, whether you know it or not, what you're saying is praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 times. It begins and it ends with that exact phrase. But then it says, praise God. That's a different rendition of hallelujah. It's Hallel. El is another name for God. Praise God in His sanctuary. And then you have several praise hymns. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. That's another rendition of Hallel. So we see this over. You see why I call it the hallelujah psalm? We could substitute all those word praises for hallelujah if we wanted to. Let's keep going here. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet was the ram's horn, the shofar. And it was a loud blast. Last time I brought a ram's horn in here, some of you may remember, I think we were talking about Joshua marching around the wall of Jericho, and I blew a ram's horn, and Emma, my little girl, was just a few months old, and she just lost it. I mean, just... The shofar was used to call people together to say, hey, something great is about to happen. Let's go to it. So we praise him with the trumpet. We praise him with the harp and the lyre, those stringed instruments. We praise him with the timbrel, which is a tambourine, with dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. We praise him with clash of cymbals and with resounding cymbals. And some people think those are the same instrument. Some people think one is maybe a small little finger cymbal, and the other one is a really big cymbal. We don't really know. But we're supposed to praise God with all these instruments and with dancing. Then it ends by saying, let some of the things that have breath praise the Lord. Right? Let some people, just some people, praise the Lord. Let just Christians praise the Lord. Let's just Baptist praise the Lord. Let's, how about just Method? Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Are you included in that? Oh, yes. If you're sitting here and breathing, then you're included. See, God, the breath of God stands for life. And when God breathed his life into Adam and Eve, they came alive. When your doctor slapped you on your little booty when you were born, if he did that, you took your first breath. And you've been breathing ever since. Everything that has the life of God is supposed to praise the Lord. Now, where do we praise him? In the sanctuary and in the heavens. In the temple, in the Hebrew temple, there was the sanctuary, the inner sanctum of the temple. And that's, it was the holiest of holy places. That's where God decided to reside and place himself in on earth. It couldn't hold him. The heavens can't even hold him. But that was a special place. Praise God in the temple. Praise him there. And don't just praise him there. Don't just praise him in church. The whole heavens praise his name. Gary read from Revelation a while ago. And the elders and the angels and all the creatures, they're all worshiping. And that's what we're going to do when we get to heaven. We are all going to be worshiping Jesus. So where to praise God? We praise God everywhere. I praise God where? Everywhere. Where do you praise God? Everywhere. On earth and in heaven. Jesus, when he was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, she asked him this question. Some people think she was trying to divert his attention away from what he was wanting to say. Anyway, she said, I can see that you're a prophet. Tell me, where is the best place to worship? My people say we can worship here in Samaria. Your people say you got to go to Jerusalem. Where should we worship the Lord? Here's his answer. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. For true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How did Jesus answer that question? Where do you worship God? Everywhere. Because it's in you. God is in you. You know, the sanctuary is no longer there. There is no temple anymore. It was destroyed in 70 AD. There has not been a new temple built since then. And we're told by the New Testament that you as an individual and you as a body of believers are the sanctuary of God. You are the temple of God. So you take your praise with you wherever you go, in spirit and in truth. We're always, always carrying around the presence of the living God. Verse 2, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his all-surpassing greatness. So verse 1 tells us where we worship, which is everywhere. Verse 2 tells us why we worship. Why do we praise God? Why do we say hallelujah, praise the Lord? Two reasons here. One is his mighty deeds. Praise the Lord for his mighty deeds, the things he has done in creation. Take time to enjoy creation. Be out in nature, to get away from the city sometimes, to look up at the stars at night, just quiet and all alone, and meditate on the vastness and the greatness and the awesomeness of this creation. And you are a creation of God. So we praise God for his acts, his mighty deeds in creation. We also praise God for his mighty deeds and his act in our salvation. Thank you, God. If it had not been for the Lord, the water would have engulfed me, I would have surely died. The anger of the enemy would have taken me over. So we praise God for his great deeds in salvation as well as creation. And we praise God for his great and mighty deeds in sustaining us. We don't think about this, but literally, every heartbeat and every breath you take, it's because God is keeping you alive. He sustains us. We like to say, Lord, thank you for creating me, but sometimes we forget about sustaining. It is the Lord who provides your food on the table. Oh, no, I work. I got a job. I pay for that myself. Oh, really? Who gave you the ability to do your job? Who gave you the brain that you have to be able to work out the solutions and the problems and to be able to work with your hands? That's all from God. God sustains us. So we praise God for creation, we praise God for salvation, and we praise God for his mighty deeds in his providence in sustaining us. And verse 2 says, here's the second thing, it says, praise him for his excellent greatness. His all-surpassing greatness. And when you see this phrase, all-surpassing greatness, it involves everything of who God is, all of his attributes, his characteristics. Praise God for his excellent greatness, for his sovereignty and his holiness, for his omniscience, for his immutability, his never-ending, always faithful, loyal love, his grace, his goodness, his compassion, mercy, justice, his truth, his wisdom. And so much more. So we are called to praise God for his mighty deeds, the things he's done, and who he is. That's pretty good two reasons right there to praise God. By the way, every time you see praise him or praise God or praise the Lord in this psalm, it's not a suggestion. It's actually more of a commandment. It's a direct statement for you to do something. You do that with your kids, if your parents, right? Do this. Do that. Whether they do it or not, who knows? Same thing is here. Do it. Praise God. Praise God. And what's the question your kids ask a lot of times when you say, go do this? Why? Well, he just told you. Here's why. Because of everything he's done and because of who he is. We praise the Lord. We say hallelujah, which is encouraging to everybody who reads this psalm and sings these words to do exactly that, to praise the Lord. But how are we going to praise God? We're going to praise him with trumpets. We're going to praise him with harp and lyre. We're going to praise him with tambourines and dancing and pipes and strings and cymbals. We are told to praise God with everything we've got. That's what this psalm is saying. You praise God everywhere. You praise God for the things he's done and who he is, and you praise God with everything you've got. These instruments represent the whole classification of instruments. There's three classifications of instruments. There's the wind instruments. I know Paige plays trumpet. I played French horn. I think we have trombone players. Wind instruments, clarinet, flute, pipe. We have stringed instruments. Guitar, in the Bible, there's lyre, there's a harp, there's a lute, and other things, and percussion instruments. And percussive instruments would be this, what do you call this box? What?
Cajon.
That's what that wooden box is right there. It's called a cajon. You praise him with a cajon. You praise him with whatever you've got. If you got dance moves, use them. Or be like me and use them when you don't have them. We praise God with everything. And who should praise God? Everybody. So we praise God everywhere. We praise God because he's so good to us, because of what he's done, because his powers and his attributes. We praise God with everything we've got, and we praise God. Everybody is called to praise God. You know what? This is exactly what's going to happen one day. In Philippians 2, we see this. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth, does that sound familiar? And under the earth, and every tongue confess. How many tongues? Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. One day, every knee is going to bow, even those who on earth didn't believe and didn't follow. There's going to be a day and they're going to believe. In Revelation, part of what Gary read a while ago, then I heard every creature. This is looking about what, you know, what heaven's going to be like. I looked and I saw every creature in heaven, every creature on heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever and ever and ever.